Hi, I'm Marianne out of Ocean City, Maryland, inviting you to check out the Romantic Truth Podcast on Spotify for podcasters. https://anchor.fm/romantictruth.
Jowson? So you just gonna leave me butt naked without a beat to start the show?
Hi everyone, my name is Adele and I would like to welcome you to the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that you must be 18 or older due to the content of the show. Without further ado, here is your host, Jowson.
Hi everyone, Jowson with you here, Romantic Truth Las Vegas, baby, yeah, keeping it real. Alright folks, Danny, out of Schenectady, New York. Guess I said it right. Man, oh man, I got your email on the 30th, sir. And he writes the following. I am getting an education from listening to your show. 34 years old, I was very sheltered in my life, so I'm learning a lot of new things that I've never been exposed to before. I've been chatting with this lady now for 3 months. And we have never met. There seems to be always an excuse. At first I thought she was one of these scammers, until she took her phone out and showed me her community. She lives about 5 miles away from me. Me and my nosy self got in my car, drove around, and I did find her place. I'm debating whether or not I should go over there and knock on her door. So far, I've been rather chicken. Do you think it would be a good idea for me to do so? Danny, Schenectady, New York. And he has here, P.S. I'm going to wait to listen to the podcast before I actually make a move. Danny, I wrote you back. And I put in bold letters, remember? Do not bother that woman. Don't go over there. I'm telling you now. And the reason why I say that is, if any place a woman lives, she should invite you. If she doesn't invite you, you should not be there. Don't let your feelings make your ass out of a fool and get your ass locked up. Because you become logical after you're behind those bars. When you're doing stupid shit, you let your feelings lead you. This would be very stupid for you. Now, here's the thing I will tell you. There are three categories she's in. She's either a teaser. This is a woman who has power, who's an introvert. She's nobody when she's outside of her home and off the internet. She's somebody when she gets on the internet and she's in the confines of her home. Because then she's sought after. So she could get on these damn Snapchat social media and be very provocative and start showing all kind of body parts. And these guys are going to fawn over her. If they saw her in a Walmart, they'd be like, oh, ma'am, could you get the fuck out the way? But online, she could be this diva. But in reality, nobody gives a fuck. See, the internet was the best thing for the introvert. Because what it did, it allowed them to have a voice. That's what happened, basically. Extroverts, it only elevated their level of self-aggrandizement. But for the introvert, it gave them an outlet. Now, here's the thing. The second reason why she may not want to meet with you is because of the fact that, and hasn't invited you over, she may have a man in her life. It doesn't necessarily have to be a husband or a boyfriend. It could be a son that she doesn't want him exposed to anybody else. Now, you never know. Or it could be a daughter. What I'm saying is, it's somebody that has a lot of power over her that won't allow her. Because see, just because a person's an adult doesn't mean that they have the power. Going out with a mini single mom where their kids dictated how they function. And those permissive moms are always the ones who are saying, I need a real man to come in and straighten my kid out. No, you fucked up as a parent. You should have straightened your kid out along the way somewhere. It's too late for that shit now. When they're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, it's too late because they didn't get the framework when they were younger. No man's just going to come off the street and fix your kid. Third option. She could be one of these independent, angry women that do not like men. Now, what does this mean? This means that she's doing this as a way of vengeance against men in general. So, on the first side, she may like the attention, the recognition, in other words, to be a teaser. She may be over-obligated in the second one, or committed in a relationship, or it's a situation she could be angry at men in general. So you got three options here. Now, in any case, she has not invited you to her place. You've been chatting with this woman for 3 months or so. She has no intentions of meeting you. A woman who's going to want to meet you, she's going to want to do it within the first month because she doesn't want to waste her time. She knows how marketable she is. And the last thing she's going to allow herself to do is to be sidetracked by some dude that's confused or can't make up his mind about things. So, for you, sir, what I would tell you, this woman, I don't know how much time you spend with her online. I don't know how much information you've shared with her. Because, see, let me tell you something else about a trick that some women will do online. They will try to find out as much information about you as possible. And here's why. So if they decide to come to you for a relationship or whatever, they're going to try to fit in a lot better because they know all this stuff about you. You guys may meet, she may not even be your type. But she's going to leverage what she knows about you in the relationship as clout for her. So, you got to be very careful about what you share. I'm just saying in general. God help you if she's one of these social media vixens where she's on social media all the time posting shit. You got to watch that. Which leads me into the next email we got from Jeffrey. And Jeffrey is out of Austin, Texas. I started dating this girl about a year ago. Things were going fine at first, but now things have taken a tragic turn. When I say tragic, I'm beginning to lose interest in her quickly. Every goddamn thing that we do in our relationship, she posts on Facebook. From the food she cooks to the places we go. Last weekend we went to Galveston. I got highly upset with her because she recorded our road trip and then posted on her Facebook page that she was out of town. This means that any criminal could have come into the home and robbed us while we were away from home. I wasn't cool with this. Ever since then, we've gone back and forth. Not only that, there have been other things that she's posted that I don't agree with. She and my baby mama are in an argument right now online, and it's real messy, and all my business is out there. I love her a lot. Me and my ex-baby mama don't get along, but still, what is the solution? I want to keep this girl in my life, but I just don't want the bullshit that she has coming with her. Any idea? Yeah. I'll tell you this, you've already fucked up, because that situation she is doing, I guarantee you she was doing this shit before you met her. And I'll tell you something else. The reason why she's probably got you as her man is because her last man didn't put up with that shit. When a woman starts posting her problems in a relationship and shit like that on the internet, it's pretty much done. 90% of the people that write me on this show, the majority of them wind up leaving their partner. This is their last plea before they go. How do they say the last plea before you flee? That's pretty much it. Because they've already determined that they're leaving. But see, some people need affirmation about them leaving. Am I doing the right thing? I don't give them that affirmation. It's up to them to make the choice. I just tell them what I would do. When a lot of people write this show, they know their relationship's in trouble. When they leave messages, they know their relationship's in trouble. And there's some that will want to argue and say, well, no, you know, my relationship is great. Well, that's wonderful. Why the fuck are you coming in telling me that your relationship is wonderful? What am I supposed to do? Give you a trophy? It's a wonderful thing. I'm happy for you. Genuinely. I'm happy to see couples together where they're working together. But the problem is, you have a lot of people who will say this shit on the surface that everything is fine, and underneath the surface, everything is fucked up. The reason why I say that is because the very people who write into this show, bragging about how great and wonderful their relationships are, and it's usually women, they write back in a few months, a few days, a few weeks sometimes, about how fucked up things are. Because see, they're in that last phase of denial. They know that damn relationship is dead. One lady, husband had 3 girlfriends. She knew all 3 of these women. All 3 of these women would come to the house, eat dinner at the house. The wife would cook the dinner for them, for her husband, and for her kids, and for herself. Those are the terms the husband laid out. Why? Because this woman has such low self-esteem when she married him, and she was very young when she married him. She was only like 17. And he controlled her. And she thought that being married, everything that he laid out was the wifely thing to do. And he was the one that dictated everything about her. This woman didn't register to vote until she was 32 years old because he didn't want her to vote. And when she was registered, he made sure she voted Republican. He had his foot on her neck for all those years, and she never had a voice. Well, coming out of her parents' house, coming into his home, it was like when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And that's pretty much the way it was. Now, what you have to also realize is that with these people, you're facing a situation where no matter what you do, you're outman and outgunned. Now, are you really living your life? No, you're living somebody else's dream, somebody else's life. You're living within the confines of someone else's parameters, someone else's boundaries that they set for you. Dude, walk away while you can before it gets too crazy. If I were you, it's up to you. All right, let's see here. Melissa writes the following. Well, I headed out finally. My boyfriend's baby mama and I got into a fight in the grocery store. She got the best of me. That's because she weighed more than I did. I tried my best to fend her off, and I could not believe I'm on the floor in a grocery store getting my ass whipped over a man that just stood there and watched this happen. I co-signed for a car with him. He lives in an apartment with my lease, and this is the thanks I get. Well, I kicked him out yesterday. I've been recovering from my bruises. Had to take a couple of days off work in order to recuperate. How does a nice girl like me get a decent man? All the men I've gotten so far have children, They have all kind of problems. I'm a single mom of three, trying to make ends meet. I lost my husband in a car accident years ago, and it's been really tough, not only when it comes to dating, but just finding people I can trust in general. Could you give me any pointers or ideas? I know you're not a dating coach or a guru, but I would appreciate you talking about this subject on your show, and you do have my permission. Michelle, Canton, Ohio. Michelle, sorry about the situation that you had there. Let me tell you something, my dear. You are what is called a mark by a lot of men. What a mark is a woman that's so desperate to have a man, and he perceives that, and he's willing to stretch that to the nth degree. He wants to see how far and how desperate you can be. Because the more desperate you are perceived, the more desperate you are as he sees it, that's the room he used to manipulate. Now, he didn't try to break you ladies up. He let you get your ass whooped by this other woman. And of course, you kicked him out. What would that tell you? He more than likely had been putting things in that woman's ear the whole time he was with you. So if you guys had any problems or anything going on between you, guess what? He probably purged with her and told her everything that's wrong with you, everything he didn't like about you. Probably even how far he could put his dick in you, all this shit. Because see, this is what simps do. When they're trying to kiss up to a woman, and they're with somebody, they're with a woman, they're going to say everything that's wrong in your relationship, everything that they can think of that's wrong with you, they're going to put that out there. I don't care if it's something like when you guys finish having sex and the semen is inside you, he's going to probably tell her, oh, her pussy stank. These guys will do this in order to alienate so that he can get into the good graces of, in this case, his baby mom. Now, this is all speculative because, see, I don't know the details. I can only go by what you've written here. I'm not there, so I can't say anything. But I can give you my opinion on this. And my opinion of it is that more than likely, he'd already been working behind the scenes with her to get back with her. You were in the way. Question I need to ask you though. How soon did he leave your place after you told him to get out? I guarantee you it was quickly, wasn't it? He didn't give it a second thought. Probably took all his shit together at one time. And if he did so, that was already premeditated. He already knew. Who knows? He might have texted her and said, hey, we're going to the grocery store. You should show up. You don't know this. People sabotage relationships all the time. They do it to get out of them. They do it to get even with their partner. And like I said, what's the use of having somebody in your life that's only going to do you harm? Emotional harm. Physical harm in some cases. They're not doing you any favors. But some of them will act like they're doing you favors just by their very presence in your life. Oh, you should be thankful I'm with you because I could be with someone else. Well, fuck you and take your musty ass on to someone else. You're not that damn important. Now, Michelle, here's the thing. Some women think they're so self-important because they have a vagina, and because they have all of these accolades from these men, their heads get too big. And they can just feel as though they can walk over men and talk to them any kind of way. I'll give you an example of this. The other day, a lady popped up on Snapchat. You know what she said? Now, she contacted me first. I don't even know this person. She puts up there, oh shit, another typical N-word. What are you about? A 42-year-old woman, black woman. That's how she introduced herself to me. I wrote her back with something to the effect of, "Excuse me, is this the way you present yourself to everyone? Do you talk to your boss this way? Do you talk to your coworkers this way?" "All N-word shit," was her reply. Too casual with disrespect. And this is the reason why a lot of black women are by themselves. Black men don't want a woman representing them like that. The fuck, where can they take them? Nowhere. They can't be seen in public with them acting like that, talking like that. Just in general, even among other black folks. But this is what we've stooped to. Michelle, there's an app called Stir, S-T-I-R. It's designed for single parents. You might have better acceptance there. You can get it from the app or Play Store. It's free. And, you know, they have the monthly memberships if you want to go monthly, 3 months, 6 months, if you want to pay for it. So everybody knows what they're dealing with Stir. You're dealing with single parents. That might be an option for you. I know a lot of you ladies want to get a single man, even though you have a whole group of kids. But for some of you, that shit ain't gonna happen. Let's face it. It's not gonna happen. The reason why, and I'm gonna be honest with you ladies, the reason why a lot of men want single moms is because they perceive them to have lower boundaries, lower standards. Because, after all, they're a single mom. It's the same thing with people with disability. I have a disability. So a lot of women think my standards are very low. So they come in and talk any kind of way like that other woman did. And think that that shit's acceptable. And it's not. And just because you're a single mom doesn't mean you have low standards. But the perception is by some people, is that the case? But don't you ever get in a fight over a man. And for goodness sake, don't get your ass whooped in a grocery store again, okay? All right, let's go on here. Davia. D-A-V-I-A. And she writes the following, and she's out of Portland, Oregon. "I'm a pretty big girl. I'm 6'3". I weigh about 265. Tall and very meaty. I've attached the photo. I get approached by a lot of black guys. I've never been with a black guy before, but I'm thinking about it. I guess what I'm afraid of, I've heard so many horror stories about penis size. I'm a very small girl down there, and I'm really afraid about the pain. There's a guy that's been talking to me. He's black, but I'm afraid to really pursue the relationship because I really don't know how to relate to a black man. I never had to deal with one in my life. I'm not a racist by no stretch, and I know a lot of people say that, but I say it and mean it. The reason being, my sister's married to a black man. She never talks to me about their relationship. She barely talks to me at all. For some reason, she thought that I was one of those folks that was siding with my parents that was totally against them being together because of his race. To the contrary, I had to keep my mouth shut because our father was very abusive. I was molested multiple times by him when I was a child. When he passed away, I made it a point to go back to my hometown, pull down my panties, and piss on his grave. I literally mean that. He was a very evil man, and my mother was very weak. I never wanted to be like her. And I never wanted to be like him. I would appreciate you giving me some insights on some of the things that I need to consider when dealing with a black man. I'm 37 years old, lonely, no kids, and I would like to have someone to love me and that I can love at some point in my life." All right, Davia, let's take a look. Well, one thing for sure here, he sent me 3 photos. You are very bold. Wow. Folks, she has a Halloween costume where she's dressed like Linda Carter on Wonder Woman. She's got the full outfit, the boots, the cape, the golden lasso. And let's see, is this Yeah, she has long black hair. It looks like that's her real hair, because on the next photo, she's in a business suit. I don't think you have a problem attracting the guy, because you have pretty good shape for your size. I mean, you're very endowed and gifted, physically. You're a very pretty lady. There's nothing to really be uptight about when it comes down to dating someone interracially, black guy or whoever. Just be yourself. That's the biggest thing. You don't have to be nervous and scared. And ma'am, let me tell you something. From what I have heard from women that I've been with, not all black men have big dicks. You got this thing called genetics, right? And it varies from person to person to person. See, the whole black man with the big dick thing started way back during colonization. When many of these European settlers would go into these countries in Africa, and they'd see these bushmen, and some of them didn't wear anything. They were just naked, and they'd pack mud over their shit in order to make sure they didn't get the crabs or anything. And so their dick was out. Well, these men, these that came from Europe, they bought their wives, they bought women. So they saw this. And of course, when the slave trade, even before colonization, this was a thing. It was kind of an absurdity to people back in the States. And so it's been a stereotype ever since. Think of it just like the stereotype of Asians being smart. They take that as an insult. Or Latinos being gardeners or hard workers. They take that as an insult. But Americans think they're complimenting them when they say that shit. It's a backhanded compliment. They're being offensive, in many cases, not knowing they're being offensive. And the way it's been. So, what does this come down to? It comes down to you being fearful of things you were exposed to when you were young. The black boogeyman and all this other shit. What people fail to realize is this. A person who will victimize another person, that doesn't have a skin color. That has a mindset and a philosophy and a belief, which can be in any packaging. But see, we look at the symbolism of things. And if you've been fed fear all your life, that's all you know. That's the reason why this country is so divided now. You have a portion of the country, about a third of the country, that's afraid of everybody else that's not white, not them. Because they think, for some reason, these people are going to encroach and rape the women and tillage and kill. No. And a lot of them will use the backdrop of, well, look what's happened down in Haiti. Well, what's happening in Haiti has been happening well before this. This was happening back during slavery. They still had the same problem down there. The problem was, France had a colony that they couldn't afford to sustain. It's always been a problem. They wanted to extract things from Haiti, but they never wanted to give much back. You look at a lot of these other African nations that were former colonies of France. They've helped subsidize much of the French economy. People don't talk about that. Why don't you think the U.S. only has one colony, and that's Puerto Rico, and they're trying to get Puerto Rico to become a state? Colonies cost money. That's the reason why Europe and the United Kingdom, Spain, and all the rest of those countries got rid of their colonies back in the 1940s, most of them, because they were draining the budget. And in many cases, they still wanted to have power. And all of this shit had to do with King Leopold in the 1880s, with his grand idea of splitting Africa up into 16 countries, as far as the 16 European countries to have colonies there. Kind of interesting how people try to play God when they're nothing but a human being with a whole bunch of scared people underneath them. Well, here's what I would say to you, ma'am. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to the stereotypes. Go out with this man. Be yourself. Love him like you would love anyone else. And try to mend the chasm between you and your sister. Because once your sister sees that you didn't take on the views of your folks because you didn't speak up at the time, and she sees the actions that you have made, she'll realize that she has an ally instead of an enemy. Best of luck to you, my dear. All right. Belinda writes the following. Could you please tell me this? Why did this guy invite himself to my apartment after our date, sat down, turned on my TV, put his feet on the coffee table, and told me to go get him a beer out of the fridge? I was being very cordial after our date. He insisted that he would come in. I let him in, and then it seemed like he tried to take over my place. I did something I normally won't do. I started dialing 911, and I told him, you either leave or I'm calling the police. He was offended, but he left. He told me that I would be receiving an invoice for what he spent on me for the day. I asked him for his Cash App number, and I just sent him the $75 for our day. Why are men like this? I met this guy on Tinder. What the fuck is wrong with men? And she's got two big eyes with a teardrop coming out the side. My dear, here's the problem. And I'm speculating now, but I'm willing to bet you he had some red flags before you even went out with him. You probably ignore them. See, people like this just doesn't add water and become an asshole. He was an asshole along the way, and you didn't pick up on the vibe. Now, I don't know how many assholes you've been used to, but see, what he saw was a weakness in your character in order to bogart his way into your place by insisting to come in. That means he did not respect the word no. You were fortunate to get him out of your place. Because if he didn't respect the word no to come into your place, guess what he would have never respected also? He would have never respected the word no if he was trying to pry your legs open. So you did the right thing by threatening to call 911 if he didn't leave. Because you were at a total disadvantage. You felt uncomfortable in your own home. That should never happen. Under any circumstances, you should never feel uncomfortable in the place you live. You should feel free to fart, free to do whatever you need to do. That's an element of your personality you're going to have to work on. Being so passive and thinking that, okay, well, I'll let it slide here. Because see, there are some people in this world that feel as though if they push you and you don't give any resistance, they're going to push even harder, they're going to push more, and they're going to push you out until your voice of resistance means nothing to them. You do not want to put yourself in that position, I'm telling you. Men will run over you 24/7. Fellas, women will run over your ass. They'll leave track marks on your ass. Oh, and let me tell you something else, guys, that many of you might not know. The girl that used you and that fucked you over, and now one of her girlfriends want to talk to you, and they still thick as thieves, and your girl is not upset that she's getting ready to try to move in on you, she's already did an information dump, a brain dump, to this other woman. So when she comes in, she already knows how to manipulate you and handle you. So she's handing the torch to the other woman. Girl, he's like this, he doesn't like this, he likes this. You could just do this and you got him. You could do that and he ain't gonna do shit. They already had that list of things down. They know how to handle you. And you sit your dumb ass up there and act like everything's okay if you want to. These women know what they're doing. And you can't let that happen, fella. You cannot let that happen. So, my dear, Linda, you're going to have to get a spine and stick by it. And another thing, too, you let him take you out. And I bet you it was your first date with him. Why were you in his car? Get your own damn transportation for your first date. You wouldn't have had that problem. Because the date would have ended at the restaurant, at the event, wherever you were. That motherfucker would not have known where you live. Now he knows where you live. There's a good possibility you might have to get a restraining order if he's still adamant. You never know how desperate a person is when it comes to dating. That's the problem. That's the reason why you take these safeguards and these precautions first. So you can kind of decipher how lonely, how desperate, how hard up this person is to have someone, to have companionship. Because it could very well be, you get the, if I can't have you, nobody else will. You get that son of a bitch in your life, you got a problem. You do not want that kind of person in your life. So the way you mitigate much of that is get your own transportation to your date. After the date ends, make sure you're not being followed. Some guys will try to be slick and say, well, I just want to follow you home to make sure you're safe, make sure you get home safely. Never, never give him the green light for that, because what he's trying to do is find out where you live. And I know he may have the best intentions, but you don't know that. So don't put yourself in that predicament. Just tell him, no, that's okay, I appreciate it. I'll call you when I get home. Or I'll text you when I get home. I'm just telling you. Best of luck to you, dear. Now, fellas, let me tell you something. A slick trick that some married women and women in relationships will do. Take, for instance, you go out somewhere and you meet a woman by chance, right? You're talking, you find out she's married or has a relationship if she decides to tell you. Sometimes they won't, because they don't want to fuck up their options with you. Because if she tells you that she's married or that she's in a relationship, 9 times out of 10, it gives you what? The option to say yes or no. Well, what most people try to do is to take that option away from you by skewing it in the direction they want. So instead of telling you they're married, they'll just omit that and just say, no, I'm divorced, I'm single, or whatever. Or they just might lie and just say that they're the opposite. Or they may just say, no, I'm single. Or, no, let's not discuss relationships or whatever. And the reason why they're doing this is because that's a part that they don't want to be reminded of, because they see an opportunity with you and they don't want to fuck it up. Now, take this, you guys exchange numbers. And she says something to the effect of, well, I gotta go, but I'll text you, but don't call, we'll just text. When you hear those terms, 9 times out of 10, she's doing something she shouldn't be doing. Meaning that she probably has a husband or a boyfriend that she's living with. And she might use, well, you know, my parents, you don't want to wake them up, etc., etc. Now, that could be a viable option. That could be a viable reason. But here's the thing. If it's a thing where you're only texting them when they're not around you, 9 times out of 10, they're with someone that they don't want to know that she's communicating with you. Now, when it comes down to this phone snatching shit, a few of you have written in about this. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend took your phone from you. They locked themselves in the bathroom and they did a backup to the cloud. Maybe they have an Android phone. And what they decided to do, well, you had an Android phone, what they decided to do was go put in their account and then back up the phone to the cloud. So now they got all your photos, they got all your contacts and all that shit in the cloud on their account. And then they delete it. A few of you wrote in about this shit. In some states, that would be considered a form of domestic violence, taking someone's phone from them. Please keep that in mind. In some communities, they take that shit very seriously. So don't be stupid. Don't be a dumbass. Because it would not make any sense for you to do that. You're not proving anything by taking somebody's phone. Now, another thing that some people have written in about. When you have your phone and your partner's phone on the same account, and you guys are talking about finding out what is on each other's phones. If you're at that point in your relationship, you need counseling because there are trust issues. If you want to save the relationship, if the two of you don't, but it has to be two people that want to save the relationship. If it's only one, it's not going to work. So you have to determine what's going on. Usually with most carriers, the account owner, not manager, has the final say on the cell phones. The account manager is nothing more than a person that can go into the website, look at their bill, pay their bill, and make some alterations on their own particular phone that they would like. The account owner has full reign over everything. And you can only have one account owner. You can have multiple account managers, but only one owner. So keep that in mind. Now, when it comes down to text messages, usually some carriers can restore them up to 30 days. After 30 days, with most carriers, you will have to get what is called a subpoena through the court for them to go back and retrieve messages beyond the 30 days. There's an app called SMS Backup that you can use. I think there's a fee you gotta pay for it. But you could back up your phone, your messages, to it, and it backs up all the messages and call logs. And then you can restore them. Primarily use that on phones that, like for instance, you're getting ready to get an upgrade. You can use it there, and it will help. Now, Marsha writes the following. I found on my boyfriend's phone that he has a Google Voice number. It's a number I never knew about, a number I hadn't seen before. I confronted him about that, and he told me, first, what was I doing with this phone? Being that I'm his wife, I should have access to his phone, because after all, I pay the bill, and it's on my account. So I asked him about that, and he tried to reach for the phone. I pulled it away from him, and I started reading off some of the text messages from women I've never heard of before. And eventually he told me that he had started an affair with three women online. This hurt me to the core. I threw his phone at him and didn't want to talk to him. That was about 3.5 months ago. We sleep in separate beds, and I absolutely refuse to have sex with him, to be intimate with him. I just go through my daily chores, fixing his lunch for work, cooking breakfast, taking care of the kids, but anything between us is totally off limits. I could care less what he does, and he's going to have to divorce me. I'm not divorcing him, because he's going to definitely pay more than I will in this divorce. I think that's only fair. What are your thoughts about this? Well, my thoughts are, ma'am, again, you had no right to go into his phone. It's just like a man doesn't have a right to go into a woman's phone. Because you're going in a person's personal space, such as their wallet. I don't give a damn whether you're married to him or not. And here's the thing. He admitted that he was messing around with other women online. Instead of getting mad, what you should have done probably was ask the question as to why do you need to go out of our relationship, our marriage, to communicate with someone else? What is going on with us? What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? What are you doing wrong? But you let anger prevail. Now, here's the thing you have to realize too, ma'am. Now that you have alienated him, he probably doesn't want you anymore as far as sexually. And here's the thing. You're looking at it from a monetary side. If he divorces you, he'd have to pay child support more than likely. You'll probably keep the house because you have the children. I know you already think you have it patted down. This is the very reason why most men will not marry. Because of that. We're not doing that. And the reason why, disproportionate number, 33% of black men, I think 48% of Latino men, they're not doing that. Because they see exactly what's happening. Well, no, I had that inverted. I think those were the people that were married. The opposite percentage, which is a higher percentage, are the people that are not. So that's something you have to deal with. That's something you're going to have to contend with. Because if you lose this relationship, it's going to be much harder for you to find another one. As far as marriage, you'll find dick all day long, ma'am. But as far as finding a man, it's going to put up with, no. Let me tell you something. I had a friend of mine that used to, and he was a what would be considered a high value man. He was worth a lot of money, very liquid, and extremely liquid. And here's the thing. He would tell me straight up, he says, first thing I ask a woman is, has she been divorced? He said, second question I ask, did she initiate the divorce? He said, if I get a yes, it's a no. And I asked him, I said, well, what about if the husband initiated the divorce? He said, I'll give that some consideration. And I said, why so? He said, because then I'm qualified to put her under extra scrutiny to see whether or not she was hanging around for the money. He said, women that don't care about the money, they want their peace, they want their freedom, they'll go and file for the divorce. The one that's hanging around is the one I concern myself with, because they're the ones that are probably waiting to see what they can get. He landed on his feet. He married a damn good woman. And the woman he married only made $30,000 a year, part-time. His own family thought that she was a gold digger and was going to use him. No, she wound up being a very good woman. He landed on his feet. But he knew what he was looking for as far as the character of the woman. And that's what mattered. We'll talk more in just a moment. Alright folks, Carrie writes the following, and Carrie is out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. I don't know how to address this. Maybe you can give me some insights. I have an ex. We've been exes now for 4 years, but he still does not understand boundaries. We're friends now. He has a wife, but he does certain things when he's around me that are inappropriate. I've talked to him about this several times over. I've even talked to his wife about it. And she's so cavalier, saying, well, he's going to be who he is. This is a problem that we had in our relationship, and this is one of the reasons why we broke up. I do think that I'm going to have to sever my friendship with him and his wife. I tried to be as cordial and as nice as possible, but he insists on kissing me on my neck. He insists on hugging me from behind. He knows those are my erogenous zones, and I can't resist. I haven't slept with him, but I have made damn sure that he keeps his distance from me, because I don't want him cheating on her like he cheated on me. Do you think I'm being fair about this? Because he's always telling me that I'm too uptight. Your thoughts would be gladly appreciated. Ma'am, this is what's happening here. He has grown comfortable with you to a point where, even though you guys are apart, you're no longer a relationship, he feels as though he still has access. You know, think of it like this. Think of it like someone who used to live with you for a very long time, and you didn't change the locks on the house, and they could come back in anytime they want. In fact, I knew of a situation like this in the past. A friend of mine down in Huntington Beach at an apartment. And she was with this guy for like 4 years. Well, they broke up. I told her, you might want to change the locks. Because she said, oh no, I got the key from him. Everything's cool. I don't have to worry about paying extra money to have the locks changed. Well, things were fine for about close to a year after they had split. Well, whatever he was into didn't work out too well for him. And she comes home from work. He's there sitting on her sofa watching television. And she's upset. And she eventually kicks him out. What he had done, he had made a copy of the key. So she wound up having to spend the extra money to get the locks changed. Something that she should have done earlier. Well, in principle, the same thing happens in life. There's some people that have had a certain access to you. And see, this is the difference between having a friendship before a relationship, or just having a relationship before the friendship. When you go with the relationship first, what you get are raw feelings of passion and emotion. Meaning that, ma'am, this man liked the way you made him feel. So the respect for the friendship was out the door. So what happened, he respected the relationship. What you're trying to do is respect the friendship, but there is no friendship that you established with him. And that's the problem. Because he sees you as a romantic venue. You see him as a platonic friend. Ladies, when you specify that a guy is going to be your friend, it only has to occur under two circumstances, basically. You've shown no romantic interest in each other in the beginning, and you flatten a relationship out to friendship. That means that he wasn't really trying to move on you. You weren't trying to move on him. That friendship could work. If you guys have been in a relationship, you have to mutually agree that it's going to be a platonic relationship after you both end it. And this is something you agree on. I guarantee you, you did not have that understanding with him when you ended that relationship from him cheating. Because see, really what he's trying to do is still win you back, even though he has another woman. And her passive ass is more or less letting everything go. Because she's okay with that. And there are some men that will get that low-hanging fruit of a girlfriend. They'll get that girlfriend, especially if she's bisexual or open to other women, that kind of shit. The guy will get her specifically for that reason. So she'll go along with anything he says. It's almost like the manipulation a serial killer does with his woman. Not making the comparison in the literal sense, but I'm talking about the psychological parallels. What do I mean by this? Well, she knows he's doing some horrific things, right? As a serial killer. But she's going along with it because she doesn't want to be alone. She feels as though he's her last hope. So he has all these dynamics working on in his favor with her. And so therefore, she's going to cling on to him no matter what. So if he wants to be with another woman or he wants her to sleep with another woman, it's no problem. On her watch. Her standards, her boundaries are so low, he can't even see them. You have raised yours. But the problem is, he already knows how to get to you. And what you're going to have to understand is that you're dealing with a toxic situation still. That man's still trying to fuck you. And he knows good and well the only thing he has to do is get you where you're turned on and you start rolling like a freight train. Or you're going to give him some pussy. And you know you will. And this is the reason why you can't be his friend. See, you can't play with fire like that. Because I'm going to tell you, as soon as he can get his penis inside you again, and he's already got the co-signing of his woman, she already knows what's going on with him, because he's probably done it to other women. So what that means then is, once he does that, he's like, well, shit, I got it made. So if I ever fall in life, I got so many people to catch me. Because see, he's going to play on that. And being that you're having sex with him, you're going to be confused once again. And that's where the guy wants you. He wants you confused where you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to love him again or be with him again, but you're still having sex with him. And then you go and tell him something like he has to make a decision. And you know what? He's not going to make one. Because what he's going to do is this. He's going to let you fall on the knife because he's going to be under the impression that, well, if she wants me, she's got to comply. And of course, the woman complies with her friends with benefits, relationship, or some other arrangement. And that's cool enough. Because see, what he's doing is he's trying to see how desperate you are as a woman. And this is where a lot of women get it twisted because they don't know their value. And so what they do instead is say, well, this is the best I probably can do. Let me just go and take him. I already know him, etc., etc. The very thing they would not tell a friend who had been hanging in there with her, who knows her like a damn encyclopedia. She doesn't want him. She take the guy who broke her heart back, who hurt her, because that's who she's still trying for. Trying to get his affirmation, trying to get him to act right, trying to get him to change. Ma'am, if I were you, don't let that man crawl up between your legs again, because you know damn well you're weak and you can't resist. It's not that he has magic powers or anything like that. You're clinging on to him still as a friend. You see, here's the difference. With my exes that are married and in relationships now, I have to respect them as a package with their husbands and boyfriends. Their boundaries, serious boundaries. Oh, they'll still do anything in the world for me, but within those boundaries. Now, there are others that are single that there's no problem. Anything I need, I can call them up, boom. They're here, anything, anything. But what still stands is the reason why we split up. They hold me accountable, I hold them accountable for it. So a relationship could never materialize again. Friendship? Definitely. Because we started out as friends and developed and morphed into a relationship. That's the distinction. You started out in a relationship and not as friends. And so now you see the consequences of it. With him only going for you on the physical side. Okay, let's go on here. Brewer, and he is out of Boston, Massachusetts. Hey man, I listened to your show. Been listening now for 3 years. Enjoy your content. Keep up the good work. I don't know where these people are coming from, but wherever they are, thank God I'm not married to any of them. LOL. I have a few problems of my own. I own a small business here in Boston. There's a young lady I started dating. However, a deal breaker for her is if we were to get into a relationship, she wants to be co-owner of my business. I own it fair and square. It's my baby. And this is something that I really can't jeopardize. This is my bread and butter. I had to borrow money from my family in order to start it. I paid every dollar back, and I've had to put in some blood, sweat, and tears. And it's very hard to make it in the bar business. Your thoughts on this, please. I would love to hear it. One thing that I must tell you before you let me know. I do love her, but I don't know if my love would be that deep with this condition. All right. Brewer, you would be a fool to get with this woman. Now, you're just going to be in a relationship. You're not married to this woman. She's asking for half of your business. What the fuck is wrong with her? What the fuck is wrong with you for even considering that? There's no upside for you with this man. And I'm willing to bet you that she's younger, And she's probably the hottest woman you've ever dated. You got to let that shit fade in the background. Let me tell you something. Like I've told many women in my life, honey, when it comes down to you and your body, the one thing you got to remember, if you come at me materialistically, that one woman that you've never seen before, called a dollar bill, that dollar sign with those curves, you can never be finer than her. And she's like, what woman are you talking about? I'm talking about money. You'll never be finer than that woman. I said, so every time you see a dollar sign, that's a woman to me. And that woman is finer than you'll ever be. So if I have to make a choice between it and you, it's going to win if you come to me on a materialistic basis. You come to me as yourself, as someone who's not focused on that, then you'll get a part of me. But the other way, you're going to always lose, I guarantee you. Your odds are worse with me than they would be in a casino in Vegas. I'm not going to do it. So, let's look at a few things here. Let's say hypothetically, you went and signed this woman on as a signature in your company. What do you think the first thing's going to happen? She's going to start buying shit. You'd be bankrupt within 2 to 3 years, guaranteed. Because she's coming at you in the wrong way. She's going for your wallet. She's not going for your heart. That's the problem. Oh, she gave you a little young pussy. I'm sure it was tight and good and wet. And now you're happy. And in order to keep that going, you think you got to do it all the time. You know the best thing to do? Get you a woman that's already established, who doesn't need you for money. I found that those are the best relationships to be in. That woman has already got herself established, and she's not using her looks and all that shit in order to get a man where she could actually genuinely focus on the relationship and not on the wallet. Every successful relationship I had, the woman had already had herself established. Every fucked up relationship I had, the woman was still trying to look for a man to be Santa Claus. That will help you immensely. Like I said, first thing, she should be able to pay her own bills. She needs you more than you need her. I prefer looking for a woman that does not need me financially. That's the best kind of woman to have. Because she can focus most of her energy on the relationship and not on what she can get. That's the way it goes. Because you can find anybody to struggle with. That's not hard to do. Because that's what you'll be doing. And here's the thing that you got to realize. I want you to think about this for a moment. You have this thriving business now that I'm assuming. And I know you went through that whole COVID period where it was kind of difficult for you to get customers and shit. And you probably just made it back on your feet again. But the company's profitable. Especially in the restaurant business and bar and all of that shit. So here's the thing. You would be hurting yourself taking on a liability like this. Let her find some other sucker to do this with. Because let me tell you, if you don't produce the numbers, the money, she'll find somebody else. You're not special. She's trying to make you think you're special, but you're not special to her. The only thing that's special to her is the capacity of the money you can make. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. So don't let yourself get carried away with this. See, the problem is, she knows what she's worth to her. You don't know what you're worth to yourself. Think about it for a moment. Because if you knew what you were worth to yourself, you wouldn't entertain a woman like that in your life. She knows what she's worth in herself because she's already valued herself on a level of being your woman and taking your money. Who has more to lose here? You do. She's still young enough to go get an older man who's well off. If you fall on your face, you got to start over from scratch again. You already know how society treats men. Something to think about. The answer, if I were in your shoes, is no. All right. Marlene. And Marlene is out of Savannah, Georgia. I have a question for you. I have dated several men in my community. Many of them needed help along the way. One guy needed a car, I helped him get a car. Another guy needed a place to stay, I let him stay with me. And in all the cases when I helped the guy, he always left. He never hung around. What do you think that's about? I've come out of the business of being so generous and benevolent. Now they gotta have everything put together when they meet me. Am I wrong for this as well? Yes, you are. And let me tell you something else. You are an enabler. You helped the guy get a car. You gave the guy a place to stay. You're not a destination to these men that you wind up helping. You are nothing more than just a respite for them. What you're doing, Marlene, is what some women normally do with men and what men do a lot of times with women. The guy will go and try to prop the woman up, you know, get her hair done, get her nails done, build up her self-esteem, get her where she can be his woman and presentable. And what she does, she's still social climbing, trying to find somebody better than you after you put all this effort into her. That's what these men have done to you, my dear. They give you a little dick to keep you happy, a little emotion, a little cuddling, but you're not a destination for them. You still wound up being the woman that gets passed up, even though you've extended yourself. Or you feel kind of like you've been victimized. So now you've kind of toughened up your standards. But we'll see how long that lasts, because with most women, they'll say that shit when they just got burned by a guy. And then many times, they'll go back and do the same shit over again. Because the thing is, some women like the rush of altruism, of being the one that rights the wrongs of the world. There are men that do that shit all the time. But see, here's the thing with men. And ladies, let me tell you something. Some of you think that the money that a man spends on you is special money or something like that. He's already allocated the loss with you. So, when he spends that money on you, a lot of times, he wants you to think you're special. But many times, he's doing that because he's already written that off. Unless you're his wife or someone that he is really in a deep relationship with and been with them for a long time, all that money is nothing more than expenditures. A man invests in a wife. A man invests in a long-term girlfriend. A man does not invest in someone that he's still trying to impress. Those are all expenses. And the reason for that is because he knows he can't sustain those expenses if the revenue is not coming in. In other words, if he doesn't see any equity coming in from it, if he's not making any progress in his quote-unquote sales in the relationship, so he doesn't get any emotion, any feelings back, he doesn't get any kind of concern about him back. You remember I told you about the coupons and shit like that. Honey, you don't need to spend all this money, you know. We could eat here because we have a coupon and, you know, two could eat for the price of one or something like that. If he doesn't get any of that back from the woman, the only thing she wants to do is just have these highest expenditures like she's producing a movie and you got budget overruns, and then after the film's released, it doesn't even make a third of the money that was spent on it. This is the way men look at women when they go to take them out. Now, most guys will have a budget. And it's going to always be the poorest woman that speaks the loudest about how cheap a man is or how broke he is. The woman that can pay for her own shit, she can afford to go to a Starbucks. The reason being, she's not defined by going to Starbucks. She doesn't put a value with her environment because she is the value. These women that have to go to five-star restaurants and all this shit so they can post it on Facebook and Instagram and brag about it, those women have no value. The only thing they have is a price. And this is the reason why most guys, especially that quote-unquote high-value man, they don't even fuck around with them. Because they know their liability. They fucking around and get one of those women pregnant? What's the benefit? None. So, what I would do if I were in your shoes, close your purse, find a man that can sustain himself. The only thing he has to do is pay his own bills. That's it. You don't have to raise the standards so high that nobody can get past him. Or he can pay his own bills. And that he's looking for a relationship and he's not consumed with trying to make money all the time. Because you want somebody that spends time with you. A lot of women complain when they're writing this show about their successful husbands that have been so micro-focused on their career and their business that they neglect their partner. Once a woman feels as though she's been emotionally abandoned, fellas, she's going to wander. It's going to take her a bit because women are very forgiving. They give chances that most men would never give a woman. Women will give second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances to men. But they have to be into the man to do it. We're less tolerant as men. And the reason for that is because we've been disappointed so much that we see what the outcome more than likely is going to be, and we're not hanging around for the end of the movie for the movie credits. We're getting out of there. Now, just don't become a doormat. Because, see, once that person has left you because you helped them out, they don't need you anymore, don't be surprised they come back after they fall on their asses and try to rekindle the fire. And some of you ladies, boy, you reminisce on those good times you were together. And before you know it, you back into that same fucked up situation again. With that optimism, overly optimistic, thinking things are going to be better. And you never required a change in a man. You never saw a change in a man. You're getting the same guy back. And you're still hollering about the same problem that you split up before in the first place. Same shit. Nothing's changed. Louise. She writes the following from Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know if I'm in love or what. I've been going out with this guy now for 2 months, and we still haven't really come up with a title for our relationship. We see each other every once in a while. We go to the movies. We might go get pizza. We may go out to a nice restaurant and go dancing. But the relationship is kind of weird. I'm wanting to go forward, and he's really dragging his feet. The most we have done is kissed a few times, and that's been about it. This is kind of strange behavior for a man, because most men I've been with, they've been wanting a little bit more. I know I'm an attractive woman. I have attached a photo so you can see. Is it me, or do you think it's him? What in the fuck is going on? Okay, let's take a look here. Well, it's not you. It's not you at all. No, I couldn't date you. We wouldn't even go on a date. We go straight. Now, I'd take your ass straight over there to the damn Justice of the Peace and get mad. You the kind of woman. I'm just talking about your physical appearance, dear. You the kind of woman that a guy would marry just to have sex with. I ain't gonna even lie to you. And I don't mean that in any negative way. What I'm saying is, you're very well proportioned. You're very attractive. Folks, she has auburn hair, blue eyes, She looks rather tall. And she's wearing this business suit that is like cut to the letter. Gray business suit, white blouse, looks like it's cotton. And she has a brooch in the neck. And I would guesstimate you're about maybe 39 to 40. Very pretty, very well put together. My dear, there could be several reasons. One, he could be intimidated because, see, you're the kind of woman that looks like you own something really big. Like you own a corporation or something. You don't look like... You wouldn't look like a mom in Walmart. I'll put it that way. You look more like a woman that has a driver. A woman that lives in a mansion. Very stately, is what I'm saying. He might be intimidated by that. Or it could be that he's already in a relationship that he hadn't told you about. And I think the latter may be the case. Because, yeah, most men, yeah, you're definitely wife material. Just on physical appearance, you look like somebody's wife already. But in a good way. I mean, in a way that they wish that they were married to you. But overall, I'm going to tell you, it's more than likely somebody in his life, and he hasn't probably come clean with you about his situation. And I'm willing to bet you dig deep enough with him, you'll probably find out the cause. Now, there's another possibility. He could be gay, but I doubt that. Because, yeah. You're the kind of woman that no matter what the man is, you try to make a move on. But it seems though you're probably into this guy, but it's not working. Well, let me tell you this. I sent you a link. Come on the show and be a guest. I'd love to have you on, my dear. Definitely. All right. Let's go on here. Karen from Urbana, Illinois. You're something else. I've listened to your show. Some of it's bullshit, as I think. Other of it makes sense. I'm dealing with a problem right now, and maybe you can help me. I don't know how to put it to you, but I'll just have to tell you what's going on. I've fallen in love with my best friend's husband. He and I have been seeing each other now for the last 3 years. I know at some point I will have to tell her. The reason? I'm pregnant by him. Don't come at me. The only thing I'm saying is, how should I break the news to her, or should I tell her at all? After all, she's not doing her job as his woman. So I'm taking up the slack for her anyway. So she should be thankful. Karen, Urbana, Illinois. Well, you're really full of yourself, Karen. And you think that these people are right into the show. It's all bullshit when they talk about their problems. And what you just presented to me in this email ain't bullshit. This is bullshit on the highest level. How in the fuck are you gonna go screw your best friend's husband, get pregnant by him, and now you're talking about you doing her a favor? Explain that. I would love to hear the logic behind that reasoning. There isn't any. Now, I don't know you from a can of paint, Tennessee, on a Sunday morning, but I will tell you this much. I'm willing to bet you're not the most attractive woman there is. And I don't say that to deface you because I don't know you. I don't have a picture of you, so I don't know what you look like. But I could tell by your self-esteem, which is very low apparently, because you're trying to make yourself feel better because you screwed your best friend's man. And I'm sure you made yourself readily available for that, because you can't get a man of your own. And now that you done fucked around and got pregnant by him, you think you're special. Because he puts all this shit in your head about how horrible the relationship is with your BFF or girlfriend or whatever. The truth of the matter is, ma'am, He's got you as a dumbass. Because he's got you believing all this shit. And now you're walking around with his baby in your stomach. And when old girl finds out, she's not going to look at you as doing her a favor. She's going to look at you as stabbing her in the back. And I can tell you one thing. I don't know if they're married or not. But if she's smart, she'll divorce his ass as soon as she finds out that you're pregnant, so that half of her resources won't go to pay your fucking child support. And he'll have to pay it himself. Because I don't think the relationship's going to work between the two of you. What do you think you're going to do? Take him away from her? He chose her over you. You were an afterthought. You came in after they established the relationship. So what does that tell you? You're the side piece that got pregnant. Now, what's going to happen more than likely is he's going to deny, as most men do. And then he's going to want a DNA test. You better hope to God it's his baby. Because if it isn't, oh boy, you're going to be trampled and treated like shit. Not only by him, but by your BFF. Now, also I'm wondering, is it a situation where you're just telling them this shit in order to get attention? You know, some women do that shit. He fucked you a few times, you want to keep the dick coming? So you tell him you're pregnant? And see, this is a comfort thing, fellas, that some women will do. When they really want you badly, they tell you they're pregnant and they're not, with the hopes of getting pregnant, because they'll say shit like, well, I'm pregnant now, so you might as well not use a condom, because it won't help any. And then your dumb ass go in there raw, and then realize later on that when she said she was pregnant initially, she wasn't. And then she winds up pregnant, and then you start counting the period of time that she was supposed to be pregnant, and you'll see the shit doesn't add up. This is an old trick that some women used to pull. They still do that shit. Wear a condom every time. Don't listen to her talking about she's got condoms somewhere, but bring your own. And like I told you before, get a fresh pack of condoms at least every 2 to 3 months. A whole fresh box. Don't let that fucker sit in your wallet for a year, 2 years, and put in a washing and drying machine. They'll still think you can go and pull it out and use it. This is how a lot of the guys talk about the condom busted. Well, if the fuckers dry it out and dry rot it and you put it on your dick, of course it's going to bust. Like I said, if it was a defective product, these companies would not be in business still selling them. They would have class action lawsuits and product liability lawsuits out the ass. So we know that's a lie. A lot of you guys either don't wear them or you've used them so long, you've kept them so long in your wallet that when you go to use it, the fucking thing disintegrates. So just keep that in mind. But you have done her no favors, ma'am. Please get that out of your head. You're not that great. You're desperate. Get your own man. Well, it doesn't matter now, because if you are truly pregnant, he's the daddy and he's got to deal with it, right? All right, let's go on here. Marco, out of Stockton, California, writes the following. I really fucked up this time. My girlfriend forgave me for cheating earlier. I got a child, a baby mama that I can't stand. And I just found out this morning I got another girl pregnant. I have 3 kids already with my girlfriend, and this will be my 5th child. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to pay all these damn child support payments. I only make $19 an hour. It's been really tough for us making it. And I know this time her folks will probably kick us out of their house. I've been living with them now for about 2 years, trying to get myself together. But I'm addicted to women. I can't help it. If I see a fine woman, it's like I have to have her. I know I'm going through a stupid phase in my life. I'm 27, and I'm trying to correct my problems. Any ideas to where I go as far as the direction in my life? Because right now, this has really floored me and blown me away. Marco, Stockton, California. Marco, you're your own worst enemy. You know, people will say something like, yeah, just put your dick away, you'll be fine. Well, we know that that's not a problem. Marco, you got to find out why you got the motivation and the propensity to always want to fuck every fine woman you see. You probably need to go to therapy for that shit, because that can be expensive. 5 kids, child support, and you only make 19 bucks an hour? Well, you're not paying for 3 of them, I assume, because you're living with her. So you're paying for those 2. Well, you're paying for 1, and you'll be paying for the second one as soon as she finds out that you're not going to be with her. And then you're living in your girl's parents' home, and she has 3 kids by you. And I know you're hanging on by a thread there, because if there's a man in the house, he's ready to kick your ass out. Dude, you realize that when your girl finds out that the other woman's pregnant, you know your ass is out of the house by yourself. She's going to stay home with her parents. And she don't have anything to worry about. That'd be 5 child support payments. And let's say on the modest side, you have to pay $200 a month for each child. But you know damn well it's going to be more than that, right? In California too. And then you didn't even try to improve yourself by getting skill sets. And I know some of you in different parts of the country are thinking $19 an hour, that's a lot of money. Well, that might be a lot of money in a place like Tennessee or Arkansas. That ain't shit in California. Let me tell you, in California, $100,000 a year is roommate money. That's money where you rent a room because of the cost of living. The cost of living is exceptionally high in California. I personally think it's for no reason, but it is high. So, you got a high mountain to climb, man, a short time to do it. The only thing I can say to you, if I were in your shoes right now, you might want to get some kind of coordination on where you're going to live, because as soon as this woman finds out, you're going to be out of her parents' home, and you're going to have 5 child support payments. So you might as well get your ass another job, find a cardboard box to sleep in, or maybe go back home to your parents to sleep, to live, or whomever, friend, maybe rent a room or something like that. But keep in mind, you have now cut your wealth, personal wealth, immensely. And you're a young man, so you've already fucked your life up for a very long time, at least for 18 years. Don't know how old your kids are. Well, we know one thing, your youngest one hadn't been born yet. So you know you got 18 years of that. So, you probably won't see any kind of financial solvency until you're about maybe in your 50s. Early 50s, late 40s maybe, if you're lucky. So, what does this mean for you? You got to get improved skill sets to get a better job, because you're going to be swamped. But what I would do first, if I were you, as I tell you, I'm not a dating coach, I'm not a guru, I'm just a person with an opinion. But what I would do if I were in your situation, I would go get me some help with a therapist to find out why I have this propensity to fuck every fine woman that I see, why I got to. There's probably something in your life that's missing, and it fills that void for you to do that, whether it's validation or whatever, to prove your manhood or whatever. Okay. We proved that you can produce children. We know that. But producing a child is not being a man. In our modern era, producing a child that you can't afford is stupid. Because the child didn't ask to be here. And you start fucking a child's life up by being born into poverty. So you're not doing anybody any favors. Not even yourself. Now, let's look at a few things here, Marco. Wouldn't you appreciate it more if you would have taken all this time, instead of having all those babies, working on your career, and having a girlfriend that wasn't interested in having children until a certain time, until they got their career together, and the two of you could have worked in tandem, I probably bought the house first. I then talk about having kids, and then I guarantee you one thing, you probably wouldn't have had three. Because what that would have meant, you couldn't afford it, and you could see that you couldn't afford it. See, with this, you're going totally on adrenaline and feelings. So you already know that somebody is somewhere going to be on public assistance in some capacity. Because whatever you can't pay, my daddy in Washington, D.C. is going to have to pay. Called Uncle Sam. With his WIC, AFDC, EBT, or whatever. Yeah, you put yourself in a pickle. Now, you don't have to lose hope in yourself. But what you got to do now is start putting confidence in yourself. Because right now, your self-esteem so low, you're validated just by fucking women and having babies. That ain't no way to validate yourself as a man. A man is defined by the decisions he makes in the best interest of others and himself. And you failed in that juncture. Because if you made a wiser decision, you would have waited until later for kids and tried to find a decent woman. Not saying that the woman that you had the children by isn't decent, but someone that would have had more of a perspective on the future than the now. You're living in crisis mode. You're worried now about making more money so you could pay your child support payments. Wouldn't it be nicer to not live under a crisis situation where you'd be spending more time on, okay, let me put more money aside so I get the down payment for a house. Or let me put the money aside so I could have a nest egg. So whenever I decide on what I want to do in life, I got a cushion so I have time to think and sort things out. I don't have to make a damn decision every 5 seconds in order to try to go forward with my life. So it's a painful situation you're dealing with. And I'll give you some empathy. But for the most part, man, you shot yourself in the foot with this. But it's not hopeless. But the first thing you got to do is quit creating more children. The next thing you got to do is control that compulsion you have. And then the next thing you have to do is figure out how are you going to advance financially to support your obligations. It's time to get serious now. You bullshitted too long. Don't feel bad. You're not the only guy that's done that. I've had friends that have done it. They told me how great it was to be a father and they'd go and rattle off all the baby mamas they have. During the 90s, it was the big shit for him because all the kids were small during that time and all the women were going on WIC, AFDC and all these other programs. So he had a little moment where he was shining until they started coming after him for child support. And then the expenses increased, and then as he made more money, they took him back to court to get the child support adjusted. And at first he was bragging about how much it was great to be a father. And then it turned around to that old bitch and them fucking kids. But it all starts with your decision that you made for the lifestyle choice you chose. And this is the lifestyle choice you chose. Whether you chose it logically or emotionally, it's the lifestyle you chose. And that's what you're dealing with. So, best of luck to you, man. Take care. Folks, I appreciate you listening. And this is all I got for today. I want you to take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cover another topic.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, K, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.